I'm going to, today, we are going to, for those of you who are interested, we're going to be meeting at McDonald's at 2 p.m. And then we're going to get into teams of two, and we're just going to go out for about 45 minutes and just pray for people in our city and share Jesus with people in our city and look for somebody who's hungry to know Jesus and then help them do that. So, guys, this is, I love this. I feel such a, of course, you know that. You guys have known me like a long time. But I just got to tell you, my heart is burning as much as it ever has right now with conviction. Not conviction like in a sense of I feel guilty. Conviction in the sense of I am absolutely certain that the gospel works. I have complete confidence that if we'll just do what Jesus said, if we just go out and share Jesus with people, we are going to lead people to Jesus. It's impossible to fail if we just do what he said. And so I encourage you, if you want to join us, you're welcome to come on out 2 p.m. at McDonald's. And if you've never done this before, and even if you're like, oh, I'm so scared to do this, and this is a great place to learn, to go out with people who are doing it. And then you go out together in teams so you can encourage each other. And you can't fail. If you go in love, you cannot fail. It's really, really true. And even if you're like, oh, what if I don't know what to say? That's okay. Just say like Jesus. If that's the only thing you say and you do it with a smile and you do it with love, God's like, that's cool. Watch what I do with that. You know, that's the way God is the easiest person to work with ever. In the sense that he's so amazing at what he does that we don't even have to be that good at our part of the partnership. You know, it's like when it's like being on Michael Jordan's basketball team. All you got to be able to do is pass him the ball and watch and stand in awe. And that's how it is working with the Lord. He's so good. He's like, just go out in love and share Jesus with people the best you know how. And he's like, I'll take it from there. Watch what I do with it. So, amen. 2 o'clock at McDonald's. We're going to have a good time. I want to talk this morning for a little bit on continuing the theme of adoption. We've been talking about that this month. And I want to just go through some scriptures with you guys on this theme. And I want to talk to you about people belong in families. Everybody say that with me. Say, people belong in families. All right, say it one more time.
People belong in families.
So I want to just start by looking at Genesis 2:18. God creates the first human being who is, somebody tell me his name.
Adam.
Good. You knew, didn't you, Gabe? Yeah, you knew. Good job, buddy. So God creates Adam, and here, I want you to think about this. Adam is in a sinless environment. He has everything he needs. He has all the food. He has more than he needs. He's in a garden paradise, and he is in perfect communion with God. And God looks at Adam and says, it is not good for the man to be alone. Think about that. It's like he had God. He had a perfect relationship with God. He had every possible thing he needed. There was no brokenness whatsoever anywhere around him. And God was like, it's not good for him to be alone. And here's the reason why. God designed human beings to belong to a family. God created human beings. It's when he made us, and God, this is what God's getting at. He made Adam, and God knew in his mind, when I create Adam, I'm not just creating him. I'm created him, and from him, I'm going to create many more human beings, and I created him to be part of a family. And so the job wasn't done yet. He had created Adam, but Adam was alone. There was not another human being with him, and he's like, I created him to be part of a family. So he creates his wife, named Gabe, you know his wife's name? Eve, good job. Named Eve, and then they had kids, and the human race was to continue multiplying up to this very point, right? Here we are, and the whole earth is filled with human beings, billions of us. And God's like, every single one of you, the way I designed human beings, you are hardwired on the inside. There's nothing you can do to change it. You were designed to be part of a family. And what happens is, when we are isolated from family, brokenness is the result. Because we were designed to belong to a family. No one was designed to be alone. Nobody was designed to be by themselves. And I'm telling you this as, I'll just tell you my personality, those of you who know me, I like being by myself a lot. I love being by myself. Often I prefer to be by myself, to be honest with you. I like it with God. I'm like, I could do the Adam and God in the garden thing. I'd be fine for a while. But eventually I'm like, I miss my wife. I want to hang out with my, because I really enjoy my wife as well. And but I'm not a guy who, you know, some people are, they're like my daughter. She's the opposite of me in personality. Like she gets energized by being around people. I get drained by being around people most of the time. And I get energized by being alone. That's generally how it works. But I'm going to tell you, even me, okay, coming from that kind of makeup, I recognize that I need family. I don't do well when I'm isolated. I don't do well when I don't have family around me. And I'm talking about my family, but I'm talking about church family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, I recognize what God says in His Word. He's like, it's not good for you to be alone, Jeff. It's not good. Even just you and me, I mean, that's cool. Let's do our thing and be on a retreat. But I created you to be part of a family. And there is the family hurts when you're not contributing your part, interacting with them. And you are deficient in some things that I want to give you that you're only going to get it through your interactions with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, with other family members. There are certain things, because some people will be like, it's just me and God, and I'm just fine. I get everything I need from God. And you know what? That's actually a deception. God, in His sovereignty, designed human beings. He's like, I'm going to give you everything you need to thrive. Lots of it, I'm going to give you directly. But there's a portion of what you need as a human being to thrive that I will only give you through your interactions with others. And no matter what you do, you're not going to get those things except through your interactions with others. It's like, God, why did you do that? He's like, because I love my family and I want you to love one another. And so I actually, in a sense, created you to need each other. In Psalm 68, this is why this is such good news. I just want us to see this morning the heart of God. Do you know that one of the, when God describes Himself, how many of you know in the Bible, there's lots of places where God actually takes a moment and He describes what He's like and who He is for our sake. It's like, I want you to know me and what I'm like. And in one instance, God describes Himself, and this is what He says about Himself. He is the everlasting Father. So here's something you should know about me. I have the heart of a father. I have the heart of a father. Do you know that God doesn't even dwell alone? The eternal God exists in three persons. Father, Son, and who's the third? And Holy Spirit. Do you know that they have lived in unbroken, intimate union with one another for all of eternity past? Like, think as far back as your mind will go, and then farther than that, they have existed, and they've existed in perfect union, enjoying one another's companionship. And then they get this idea. We're like, we want to share the love that the three of us, you know, I picture the three of them sitting at the family table, right? Just picture a table right here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're enjoying one another. They make plans together. They do things in perfect union together. There's a division of labor among them. And then they're like, let's share our love. Let's actually create a new species. Let's create human beings in our likeness and give them a seat at our table. And the fellowship and the friendship and the union we've enjoyed with one another forever, let's create them and invite them into it. They're going to sit at this table with us, and they're going to actually participate in that exact same union that we've already been enjoying forever. That's the calling of human beings. But let's do this, because God is an everlasting Father. He's like, they're children to me, they're family, they're brothers and sisters. So they won't be like, Jeff is going to sit at this table, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and little peon Jeff. It's going to be like Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all of us who love the Lord and follow Jesus. Is this making sense? One of the things I love about God, he's an everlasting Father. He knows it's not good when people are alone. Do you know that loneliness is like an epidemic? Depression and suicide thrive in loneliness. The devil, he's always working against family. God is always working to build family. The devil wants to get you isolated. Because when you're alone, he can mess with your head, he can mess with your mind, he could pick you apart. There's been times where I've just been in a rough place. I've been under demonic attack, whatever it is. And I'm trying to get this worked out with me and the Lord. And the Lord's like, I'm going to rescue you. But you know how the rescue came? Through a brother, a sister, my wife, even my own children at different times who they would pray for me. I can't even tell you the amount of times my wife has prayed for me. And I knew I was struggling. And she knew I was struggling. How many of you know this is the way family is? You know each other, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. You know one another. And she's like, Jeff is struggling. I'm like, I'm struggling. I'm trying to find my way out. I can't see it. And then I know she's in intercession for me. And usually shortly thereafter, sometimes the very day, a breakthrough happens. And I get victory. I've had that with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, you know, who have been that way for me. I've just been in this place and I'm having a conversation, sharing my heart, and the Lord speaks through them a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom or seeing the problem from a different vantage point that all of a sudden gives me hope. And now I know what to do. You guys have experienced this because it's not good for man to be alone. It's just not good. And that's not a statement, just God's not making a statement there just about Adam, like it's not good for man to be unmarried. He's talking about it's not good for any person, man or woman, to be without family. That's what he's talking about. It's a statement of family. And so God sees the brokenness in the world. And in Psalm 68, listen what it says about himself. He calls himself father to the fatherless. You guys see it on your page? Father to the fatherless. Defender of widows, this is God, whose dwelling is holy. Listen to this. God places the lonely in what? Isn't that cool? God's like, I know how I wired the human beings. I know the way they work. They cannot thrive without family. So because of sin and brokenness in the world, there's a whole lot of loneliness. There's a whole lot of orphans. There's a whole lot of broken people. There's a whole lot of kids we just talked about, you know, that are in the foster care system that don't have a forever family to be part of for whatever reason. And God's like, I am going to personally take care of them. And one of the ways I'm going to care for these people is I am going to place them in families. I'm going to raise up families who have my heart, and I'm going to put those people in their families so that they can be healed, restored, and begin to thrive. And then James 1:27, after we see God's heart, he's like, he's a father, he cares for the orphans, he's a father to the fatherless, he places the lonely in families. And then God describes, he's like, here's God's opinion, he's like, here's what pure and genuine religion is in my sight. In the sight of God, the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, and refusing to let the world corrupt you. In other words, I just see that like this. He's like, here's how you can tell if you're legit. He says, those who are legit, who really have my heart, it will manifest because they'll also have the heart for the fatherless, to belong to families. And then in Matthew 18, I could have read like a huge portion of this chapter. I just clipped out certain verses. But it's like one big thing. You should read it in context. It's really good. And I was reading this verse sometime at the end of last year, I believe. I was just reading in Matthew 18. And I had adoption on my heart. And of course, Jesus is in this, when you read it in context, he's not actually specifically talking about adoption. He's talking about relating to others in the body of Christ, and he's like, one of these little ones, don't cause them to stumble, because God cares about them, and etc. But I think like these principles are completely applicable. I was reading them through an adoption lens when I read it, because adoption was on my mind, and it really touched my heart. So I want us to read these verses in Matthew 18, and think of it through as through the lens of adoption, because I think that's a legitimate application. You guys ready? Verse 5, and anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming who? I remember reading that verse, and I was reading it through that. I've never read it through thinking about adoption as an application of this verse. But all of a sudden, that just hit my heart. I'm like, what an opportunity. What? I mean, we talk about, God, I want to host your presence in my life. I want to invite your presence. I want to build a dwelling place in my family and in my house for your presence to dwell. And one of the ways he's like, I tell you what, if you welcome one of these little ones in my name, he's like, I'm coming. I'm coming because I'm already with them. I'm watching over them. I'm the father to the fatherless. When they come, I'm coming. My blessing will come because you're entering into a partnership with me in my ministry of restoring and caring for the orphans. Does this make sense? And he's like, man, I'm taking you up on this partnership. And I love that. I mean, he takes it personally. How many of you guys know this who are parents? When somebody blesses your kids, you take it personally. Isn't that true? When somebody just like, they're not even doing it to you, but they're just like, and they go out of their way to do something really kind to help your kids. You're like, my love for you just went through the roof. Like when you did it to them, it was like you did it to me. Isn't that true? Because you love your kids so much. And God's like, that's how it is. That's how I feel about orphans. That's how I feel about kids in the foster care system. He's like, I love each and every one of them. It's not good for them to be alone. I place them in families. And when you welcome them, you welcome me. I take it personally. And then it goes on. And look at verse 12 through 14. This is amazing. Now, again, read this through the lens of an adoption lens, okay? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? Everybody say, the one that is lost. Say it one more time. The one
that is lost.
And if he finds it, think of this through an adoption lens. I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the other 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, and this is the key verse I want to focus on. Listen to this. It is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones would perish. See, he doesn't just look at it. Like we look at it, we hear there's 8 million orphans in the world. And it's just like 8 million. But he's like, he could tell you their name. He could tell you the second that they were born and on what day. He can tell you the moment that they were conceived. He can tell you their story, the story of their parents and their grandparents. He could tell you what his plan was for them in 24 years from now. He knows each and every one. They're not just a blob, a massive sea of people, 8 million people that he doesn't know. He's like, I know them. My personal touch is on them. I knit them together in their mother's womb. Each and every one. Handcrafted by Jesus. Everyone's an original. He's like, I know them. And it is not my, and Jesus is like, I'm just telling you, I know my Father better than you. Here's the deal. It's not his will that even one of them perish. Like if 7 out of the 8 million were adopted and went on to have a happy ending, he's rejoicing, but I tell you what, he's not okay with the million that perish. They all matter. Every single one matters. And I believe that when we understand the Father's heart, not only for orphans and for, you know, kids to belong to families, but even bigger than that, his heart that it's not good for us to be alone. He created us to be part of a family. I want to look at one last scripture. Turn. I don't have it on your sheet. I apologize because I just thought of it this morning to share. But Ephesians chapter 2, and this is going to be the last verse I look at, I think, or the last passage I look at. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 through 22. And I'm just going to kind of make a little turn on this because I'm talking about belonging to family, but I'm going to put a little twist on it now. I'm going to talk about adoption, etc. How many of you know if you know God as Father because you chose to start following Jesus, right? You've been adopted. You're in the family. You're at the table. You're at the table of the Godhead in communion with them. You're not a God. Okay? Anyone who actually sits at that table with them, it won't take them very long to figure that out. Yeah, I'm so blessed to be here, but I'm not God, right? But we're at the table, and we're part of the family of God, and God is Father. We've been adopted. We're enjoying the communion. We're enjoying his presence. We're enjoying the benefits of knowing him, of his deliverance in our lives. I could tell you so many sins that I've been delivered from, so many ways that the Lord has healed my life from the brokenness of my poor choices and the sins that others have committed to me, against me. But he heals our lives. Amen. He delivers us from addictions and bondages and different things that I've had. Like, he's so good. And what did I do to deserve all of this? Like, zero. I did nothing. And we realize it's like, you saw me. I could do nothing for myself. And you came to me. I didn't come to you first. You came to me in my sin, in my brokenness, in my loneliness. And you pulled me up and you washed me and you cared for me and you nurtured me and you healed me, you restored me, you delivered me, and you raised me up and you seated me with Christ in the heavenly realms in a place of honor, in a place of authority, and you trusted me. He's entrusted me with, I give you now responsibility in this awesome ministry of reconciliation that I'm doing, that you've experienced. Now you are an ambassador of reconciliation. You represent the Father. And he sends us out. And then he works his miracles through us. We do the weakest things that don't seem that impressive at all. And then he just adds his impressive to it and it becomes awesome. And it's like, I got to do that? I mean, when I look at people, you know, I remember this, a couple years ago. It was on a Sunday morning. And we were in here in this room. It was during the worship time, we were singing, and I was standing up here, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, I just kind of turned around, and I looked around the room, and I just saw different people worshiping, and I saw you guys worshiping, and I saw different ones, and I'm like, when I first met that, and they're just there worshiping with their families. I'm like, when I first met that person, they didn't know Jesus at all. Now they're worshipers who are leading others to him. When I first met that person, they didn't even know Jesus. But now look, their whole family's in the kingdom worshiping. And this person, and this person. And I was just overwhelmed with like, man, you let me do, like, you let me have a little part in the awesome, cool stuff that you do? Because you don't even need me. You could totally do it without me. He's totally self-sufficient. But he's like, I choose to partner with you. I choose to partner with you because I actually really do give you a seat at our table. And you do have a role in what happens and what does not happen. You know, it's defined and there's limits on it and checks and balances. He has the final word, but it's real, our part in it. Amen. I just want to read this because we're part of a family, the family of God. Nobody gets saved and is an island to themselves. It's not good for man to be alone. Let me just read verse 17. I want to read this passage. He's talking about the gospel. He said, he brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to who? You see how many times he calls himself Father? You come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Say with. Say with again. Okay, notice that you are with all of God's holy people. You're part of a family. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we are part of the family of God. We are with other people. And then he says this, you are members of God's family. Together, say it again, together. I know I'm having you talk this morning. Listen, together we are his house. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's talking about the 12 apostles and the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets prophesied about the coming of Messiah and what God would build through him. And the New Testament apostles were the first witnesses of the fulfillment of the prophecies. You guys with me? And they testified about what they saw and what they heard. That's the foundation of God's family. It's the testimony of Jesus as told by the Old Testament prophets and confirmed by the 12 apostles in the New Testament who were firsthand witnesses. Does that make sense? It's like this testimony of Jesus, we believed it and we entered into the kingdom through faith in Jesus and we were washed and immediately adopted and called sons and daughters and entered into the family. We're part of a family. And the cornerstone of this God's house is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together. Notice the words together are just all throughout here. In him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Here's the deal. There's a measure of glory that I was designed to bring God through my life. And I can only bring him a certain percentage of the glory that I'm potentially able to give him through my life by myself. But there's a whole nother aspect of glory he's supposed to receive through my life that will only come through my interactions with others. See, if I choose to be a hermit living on an island somewhere, which is actually appealing in many ways to me, I'm just keeping it real. In some ways, I'd like to visit every once in a while. But anyway, I'm getting distracted. I'm picturing this island. I'm like scuba diving, spear fishing. Anyway, I'm back. I forgot my point now. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. If I were a hermit on an island, okay, I wouldn't, like, maybe I'm enjoying Jesus and Jesus is enjoying me. But here's the deal. Many of you have been impacted in a positive way through your interactions with me. That none of that would have happened. Does that make sense? I've been impacted by you in positive ways. None of that would have happened if we're islands to ourselves. And we got to realize it's not good for me to be alone. I am going to make a powerful decision for the rest of my life. I know who I am. I know the way God designed me, according to what God said in his word. Therefore, I am committed to the family of God for the rest of my life. And I'm committed to even my natural family. I'm committed to loving them. And I'm going to tell you this, the devil is always working to destroy family. He's always working to divide. He's like, you know, because how many of you know we're all weak and broken and none of us are perfect? And if you're looking for the perfect family, as soon as you entered it, it'd be imperfect. Because we're all imperfect. Are you guys with me? And so it's like, you know, gosh, I don't like my family. And I tell you, there are some serious broken families. I mean, there are families that are like, there's abuse in, there's like things that it's not even safe to be around them. Are you guys with me? But that doesn't mean I'm just, you know, forget it. I've been burned. I'm just going to stay to myself for the rest of my life and lick my wounds. It's like, no, I'm not. God has a plan for me. He wants me to experience family. And even if my natural family couldn't provide that because a father or mother was abusive or whatever it is, do you know what? But God has spiritual fathers and mothers brothers and sisters that he's going to bring into my life if my heart is open that are going to supply what I need in that way. And there's stuff they need that I have to supply. You know, good parents teach their kids, this: the family doesn't revolve around you. Amen? And we all, of course, we all think that. I mean, babies, how could they not think that? Right? They're born and they're absolutely fully dependent 100% on the care given to them by their mothers and fathers, their family, right? So they cry when they need something and we respond to their cry. But eventually, as they mature and they get a little older and they become able to do other things, we need to teach them, actually, it's good when you need something. We want to be there for you to meet your need. But you know what? You're also here to serve the rest of the family and help meet their needs. And here's the truth. I'll just tell you kids this. Do you know that your mom and dad have needs too? Do you know that your moms and dads are human beings and they have emotions and they have hard days like you do too? They have trials that they go through. A lot of times we grow up as kids and we don't even think about our parents' needs, right? But the deal is, it's like we're all human beings, and actually kids can be powerfully anointed and used by the Lord to really minister to their parents. And one of the greatest ways to do that is through honoring them. Anyway, you're welcome. That was extra. You're welcome. I want to just pray. I'm going to have Abby come up, my sweet daughter. And I want to do a couple things here. She's just going to play a song, The Goodness of God. Just, I want to worship him as an everlasting father. And I want to thank him, first of all, that he cares for us when we were lonely and estranged from him. We were outside the family of God because of our own sin. And he came to us and adopted us, amen, into his family when we chose to follow Jesus. I want to worship him. Thank you for letting me be part of the best family ever in the history of ever. Seriously. Like, you can say this. So I'm going to say this, but you could also say this. I actually have the best dad that's ever lived in the history of the world. It's God the Father. And you could say that too. And it's real. He's not just like, it's not like he doesn't know me. It's not like, yes, son, I have like billions of children, you know, from like thousands of years. I have this really big family and I just don't have time to get to all of them, but I'll make sure I got servants. I'll make sure that they get you your food and get you what you need. No, he knows me personally. He has all the time in the world for me. If I ever need to talk to dad about anything, I need wise counsel, I could talk to him. He answers. If I ever need encouragement, I talk to him. Dad always has time. He talks back. And he encourages me. I just got to share this story now. This came to my mind. You look pretty out there. I could tell you so many. Guys, you guys know me, so you've probably heard most of them. And you've already heard this one, but I'm going to tell it again. I could tell you so many stories of God taking time for me. Me. To affirm me as a son. Speak identity into my life. I've actually had him sit down with me and talk to me and look at me and say, here's what I love most about you. This is what's awesome about you. And he told me something very specific that ever since, when I think of myself, the first thing I think of is that one thing that he really says is awesome about me. And I'm like, hey, I'm awesome. I may be bad at this and this, but I'm great at this and he likes it. So you know what? I'm going to go after it and become even greater at it because he likes it. I remember one time I had a dream, and one of these times when he affirmed me. And in the dream, I was in an airport, and I knew that the airline that was at this airport was like a world-class, amazing company that did incredible things. And they were just amazing. And they did awesome stuff. And I was there. And I just had this heart like, man, this is such an amazing company. They do such incredible things. They do things so good. I just want anything I can do to help you because I love what you do. I just want to be part of it, you know? And I'm there. And one of the people come up to me and they're like, you're a pilot. And in the dream, I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, I really want to help you. That's why I'm telling you, you do not want me flying a plane because I do not know how to fly a plane. They're like, nope, you're a pilot. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, seriously, I honestly don't, I really don't know how to fly. They're like, you're a pilot. So then in the dream, I think maybe this is one of those things by faith where they tell me something that I am and I just don't realize it. And if I'll just obey and step out in faith, I'll walk on water and all of a sudden the plane will stay in the air, right? So I'm like, okay. And so we get on the plane and a real pilot actually gets us up in the air and we're flying at cruising altitude. And then he hands over the controls to me and says, okay, here you go. Go ahead and fly. And I'm so nervous in the dream. I'm like, I do not know how to fly. I'm hoping it's just going to come to me magically. And then I get there and I try to start flying the plane. And sure enough, I mean, it's crashing. We are going down. I'm doing all the stuff I can to right the plane, but it's not working. It's just getting worse. We're going down. I'm scared. At the last minute before we crash, the real pilot steps back in, takes the controls, and saves the day, and we land safely. And I feel horrible. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I tried to tell you. I don't know how to fly a plane, right? And then in the scene changes, and I'm in the office of the head of the company. By the way, the company represents the kingdom of God. The head of the company is who? Yeah, it's God the Father. And I'm sitting in his office waiting for him, and he's waiting for him to come in and talk to me. And as I'm sitting in there, there's like a music playing over the intercom, and it's worship music. And I start listening, and I realize, I'm like, oh, it's not just worship music. It's actually me singing because I've led worship at different times. And I'm like, I hear myself leading worship over the intercom. And I'm alone in the room, right? So it's safe to think whatever I want to think. So I'm in there, and I'm thinking like, this is pretty good. Like, I'm pretty good. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually pretty good at worshiping, you know, and leading worship. And in the middle of my thinking of like, I'm actually pretty good at that, all of a sudden I look up, boom, and God the Father's like right in front of me. And I know he like knows everything I was just thinking. And then I get embarrassed and I start like backtracking. And I'm like, well, I mean, I could get better. I'm not even arrived. I mean, I could improve. And I'm trying to like humble myself, right? And he just smiles. He doesn't say a word. He just smiles this super mischievous grin. And then he sits down and he reaches behind the couch or whatever they were sitting on, and he pulls out a guitar, this old guitar. And in the dream, I started thinking, I'm like, oh, he doesn't need to put me to tell me something. He's going to show me what real worship sounds like. Like, he's going to play and sing, and it's going to like put me in my place, right? And on purpose, he has the guitar like completely out of tune. And then he clanks. It sounds awful. It's just like clang, clang. I mean, it sounds really not good at all, totally out of tune. And on purpose, he sings out of key, off tune. And he goes, I love, like with a twang, actually. Seriously. I love Jeff Mann. Clang. Clang. Then he says this, next line. He goes, he's part of my clan. And it sounds silly, but it hit my heart because I knew what he was saying. He's like, Jeff, I don't love you for what you can do for my company. I love you because you're mine. You're my son. And really, that's the way it is with all of us. You know, sometimes I hear people say, like, oh, some famous person gets saved. It's like, wow, God, or this person's really famous. They have a lot of influence. If they could just get saved, they'd lead lots of people to Jesus. Maybe, maybe not. But when God's looking at them, he's not like, man, I could use their influence. Are you kidding? God's like, no, I want them in my family. I can train anybody to be awesome at whatever. I can give gifts. I can give influence in a day. He's like, but I want them in my family. I see them alone. I see them broken. I see them confused. They don't even know what up is up and where down is down. Everything's turned around. They're confused. He's like, I just want to save them and get them in my family so I can heal them up. And then I will glorify myself through them. But it's about adoption. Adoption is the gospel. It's the heart of the gospel message. It's adoption. We're part of a family, and God uses us to bring that to other people. So I want you to worship the Lord right now as Abby plays. And if you're like, you know what? I'm not following Jesus right now. Like, I'm living in sin. I'm like the prodigal son. Like, the father's over here, and he's at his house, and I've chosen on my own accord, I've walked away from him, and I am living in sin and doing things that I know he doesn't approve of, and I'm doing it on purpose. I'm away from him. I've hurt him. And I believe he's calling to you right now, and he's saying, I want you back. I'll forgive you. I can clean you up. I can heal you. I can restore you. I can do that. But what I can't do is I can't make you decide to come back to me. But he says, if you will come back to me, I'm sure. Well, here's what God's doing this morning. I just feel like through this message, here's what he's doing. The Father's just making himself vulnerable, and he's bearing his heart. He's saying, this is how I feel about you. Because the devil's been lying to you, like he's mad at you. He won't take you back. You've disgraced him. You've disgraced your family. And he's going, I still love you. I want you back. I want you back. I'm showing you my heart. What you need to do is you need to say, you know what? I'm done with this life. I am done with living away from Father. I am done with doing what he doesn't like. I'm going back to God right now. Like, I'm not earning my way back, and I'll prove myself with like 6 good months of good behavior, and then I know he'll like me again. He likes me now. I come back now, and I think he forgives me now, and then he'll help me overcome what I need to overcome. You guys with me? But you're never going to overcome it alone. You need him. You need the family around you, the family of God around you. So why don't everybody stand with me? Abby, you can just go ahead and start playing. As we're worshiping, I just want you to worship him as a father. But if you're away, I just want you to come back to the Father. I want you to come to the Father right now. And I'm not even going to ask you to come up front. Because you don't need to come up front. He's right there with you at your seat. All you need to do is turn your attention toward him and say, I'm back. Dad, I'm back. Forgive me. I am yours. You are mine. This is who we are. We are together. My identity is tied to you forever. I am yours. I am the one that God loves. I am the one who loves God. I'm coming back. So I want you to just talk to him right now and come back to the Lord as we worship.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. Oh, in all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Oh, in darkest nights, you are close like no other. As a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath.
Father, I am yours. I accept the forgiveness that Jesus paid for me. And I commit my life to live for you and to live with you. Holy Spirit, I receive you. Help me to know the Father. Make him real to me. Help me to reveal the Father to those around me. Because I am yours, I am blessed. If I say that with conviction, I am blessed. I am blessed. My children are blessed. My family is blessed. My life is blessed. My future is blessed. Because I am in God's family. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters, for myself. Give us your heart for adoption. Impart the Father's heart to us. Show us your plans to bless those around us who are lonely and who need families, God. Show us what your plan is for how we can bless them, how we can serve them. Reveal the Father's heart through us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say this. If you're like, I'm coming back to the Lord this morning, and you're just like, I'm coming back, I want you to do that with somebody. I want you to just talk, turn to somebody next to you. If somebody that brought you, somebody that came with you, that you already have a relationship with, and just say, you know what? I want to live as a son. I want to live as a daughter of God. And you've been doing it for a little while now. Show me how. What do I need to do? And then they'll meet with you and they'll help you walk and just show you kind of the things that they've learned over the years. And if you're like, man, I came alone this morning. I don't know anybody here. Just come talk to me afterward and I'll get you hooked up. Sound good? All right. Love you guys. Autumn, do you need to come up? Okay. I think we're done. So God bless you. Have an awesome day. Thank you, Abby.